Good evening and welcome to a very special episode of La Magicast. I'm your host, Scott Monroe. We are doing a retro episode where we are going back in time in the time machine to 2002-2003, where a current Champions League winning coach joined the club in the summer transfer window and then left just 6 months later in January to go back to Brescia. This is a season where a big money move 2 years previously, Gabriel Batistuta left the club in January to go to Inter. This is where Roma won at both Mestalla and the Santiago Bernabeu in the Champions League, but finished eighth in Serie A behind teams like Chievo. With me tonight, I have Imran. We're going to reminisce, going down memory lane. How are you, Imran? You okay?
I'm good, thank you.
I did want to start off with this. Happy Ramadan. I know it's been going on for just over a week now. Is everything with it? Everything going okay?
Yeah, I just broke my fast 2 hours ago. So I'm in a good state right now.
I know, because sunlight over here now in the UK is a little bit later. Here we are recording on a Wednesday evening, and I think sunlight has just happened over here in the UK, so people over here will be breaking their fast. But I'm glad it's going well for yourself and for everyone in across the world who celebrates. I hope it's going well. But Imran, we're going back to 2002-2003, where the previous season, Roma, I think, was it they finished third, was it?
They finished second.
That's the one.
They finished 1 point behind Juventus. They could have won the Scudetto. It could have won the Scudetto if Juventus didn't win at Udinese.
That's it.
Inter lost to Lazio, which meant that they went from first place to third place. It was an interesting season because it was a season where we should have defended the title. We were very close to doing it, but it was a season where the strikers didn't live up to the reputations. They missed a lot of chances, and we had a run of games against the weaker sides, Venezia 2-2. We lost a lot of silly points. If we would have lost half of those games and won the other half, we would have won the Scudetto. But yeah, I think we lost only two games. The whole season in Serie A, but yeah, we had too many draws. So we were coming off that season, and it's the year of 2002. I don't know what you were up to back then, but I was 15 years old.
I think we were about the same age. I'm 87. Yeah. So I'm April 87. So yeah, I was 15. I was in my second to last year. I finished school in 2003. So summer of 2002 was my last year of secondary school. We had a World Cup that year, Imran, didn't we?
We had a World Cup, yeah. The World Cup of 2002. Big flop for Italy due to some very dubious referee decisions.
Mr. Moreno?
Yes. Amongst others. There were others very dodgy decisions as well. And it was a summer packed with a lot of rumor. I remember the summer of 2002, the mercato generally in Europe was very, there was very little, you know, there were very little transfers. I think Rio Ferdinand from Leeds to Manchester United was a big transfer. Apart from that, it didn't happen much. In Italy, you had clubs going through financially difficult times. So none of the big sides strengthened their squads significantly, and most of the clubs were actually just waiting for the other big teams to make a move, but nothing really happened. Roma, I think, you know, Franco Sensi, he was very vocal in the summer. He was very open about the idea of bringing Edgar Davids from Juventus, because Davids was Capello's first choice. Openly, Capello said many times during the summer that if you give me, just like he said in 2000, if you give me Battistuta, I will bring you the Scudetto. Mm. He said something similar this summer. He said, if you give me Davids, that's all I need. If you give me Davids, I will bring you trophies. This squad, nobody can beat it. He said that Davids is the last puzzle which completes his whole piece. And Roma were in negotiations back and forth. It came to a point where Franco Sensi got pissed off. He said, I'm not even speaking to Moggi anymore. I'm speaking to the other director instead. He said that Moggi thinks that he can, you know, inflate the price because we are interested in him, but I will not do it. He said, my offer is, I think it was 7 or 6 million or 8 million euros plus Lima, and Moggi was not interested in Lima. And Moggi was a very, he was a very special person, because he could counter your offer by, you know, some ridiculous offers, you know, because he was just giving it a shot. And I remember that time he said, take Davids and give me Akelani, De Rossi, and some cash.
Like, and 10 million euros or something like that.
Yes, yes. And it was being considered because Capello was so badly interested in Davids, but in the end, Sensi, after having thought, nah, I didn't go for it. Luckily for us. But Davids didn't come. Pep Guardiola came. He was supposed to come anyway, yeah, because that deal was done. But Capello wanted Davids irrespective of that transfer, because I think he was planning to phase out Francesco Lima, and he wanted to rotate and create a strong midfield, because he wanted to basically play three central midfielders and go back to that sort of 3-5-2 formation. So he wanted Emerson, Tomasi, and Davids. He wanted to give Emerson a more box-to-box midfielder role and play Davids in that deep defensive midfielder. Guardiola had a very good preseason. He had a very good preseason. He impressed a lot during the preseason. Even Batistuta, who had a very poor season before, he scored only. We have to remember 2001-2002 was the worst season in Batistuta's career. He scored only 6 Serie A goals. He played 20 games. He struggled with injuries. And it was a very frustrating season. And there were also rumors that Roma wanted to get rid of him because it was his last year contract, and they wanted to get some money for him instead of letting him go for free. So there were a lot of players on outgoing contract. Cafu was an outgoing contract. Aldair had actually decided to quit, to retire. It was basically done and dusted, and, you know, and then all of a sudden, Roma, you know, this friendly we have in August before the season, suddenly Aldair pops up there, and they make his renewal official for another season, which is actually quite interesting. He played a pivotal role in a very in a Champions League match we will come back to. But so the summer was very hectic. There was a lot of talks, but it didn't happen too much. The players we signed were basically free transfers, and we had an aging squad, which we didn't manage to renew. So we basically had more or less the same squad for two seasons, minus a few changes.
I found the the Sky Sports story about Edgar Davids not joining Roma. And also, you mentioned Gabriel Batistuta. I was speaking to Sam about this yesterday. He wanted to know what was going on. Apparently, he said there was something going on behind the scenes with Totti and Capello, and him having a, let's just say, a disagreement with both of them. I've also got the Edgar Davids Sky Sports in the UK. Did you see who they Juventus were also linked with? Because they were going to get rid of Davids. But Davids, he went to Spain the season after, didn't he? He went to Barcelona in the 2003-2004 season.
Yeah, January. And he was the main reason. He was the main reason when he went to Barcelona. That was when Frank Rijkaard turned the season around, because up until when Davids came, they finished second. If I'm not mistaken, they finished second, yes. But that was the turning point for the season. He stabilized them. He was the missing piece in their midfield, and they completely turned the season around. So that's true. He went to Barcelona 2004, January.
So Juventus were trying to get rid of Davids. They were after Christian Zanetti from Inter. And Juventus were after also Perugia's Manuele Blasi, which is an absolute name from the past. Whoever watched Serie A in the mid to early 2000s, of Blasi playing for Perugia and that crazy team with a crazy owner.
The crazy coach, Sergio
Cosmi. Sergio Cosmi, who used to show his players porn before a game. who was the owner? His name?
Gauci.
Mr. Gauci, who tried to get a woman onto the Perugia team.
Yeah. He sacked An Yong-wan after he...
Yes, the World Cup.
Yeah, it was that summer, actually.
Yeah, it was. Who else? Was it Gaddafi's son?
He signed Gaddafi's son. Yeah. Yes. Gaddafi's son played for Perugia in Serie A.
Wow. What a time to be alive in Italy watching Italian football. Gaddafi's son playing in Serie A. Gauci. Yeah, I actually listened to an episode of, it was a totally Italian football show. They stopped doing the podcast about 24 months ago, and they go do some retro stuff, and they did stuff on Gauci and what his time with Perugia and all that stuff. They've done stuff on Cragnotti. Because a couple of years previously, Lazio won the Scudetto.
They won the Scudetto. He signed a lot of players. They created a monster team with money that didn't exist. So that was quite funny.
Love the nostalgia. So
before you continue, it's also very interesting to remember that Serie A was, and Italian football was very different back then from what it is now. It was very, now you have owners, they have, people who, secretaries, PR people, you have to be politically correct. Back then, everyone was very outspoken, especially Franco Sensi was always in the media. I mean, when the season ended, he was in the media. And he said, the season has ended. I'm really interested in signing Adriano, because Adriano had a good season for Fiorentina, the second half of that. He said, I'm interested in signing Adriano. I will speak to Moratti in the next few days. I already spoke to him, but we'll see. And then he was like, I really like this Anderson Polga from Gremio, who ended up going to Sporting the year after. He was like, I really like this guy. I think I will sign him. And he was like, Ibrahimovic is also good. He was very open about the candidates he wanted to buy. And then as the summer progressed, he was like, I cannot mention some of the players I'm interested in signing, because the owners or from that club will only raise the price, etc., etc. But he was a very eccentric, with an eccentric personality, very, very outspoken. He criticized everything that came from north. He openly massacred Adriano Galliani when he became the president of when he became the president of Football Federation, despite having the vice president role in Milan, because there was a lot of clubs that protested that it's a conflict of interest and blah blah blah, and you know, it even ended up with him getting banned for 3 months in November.
Can I draw your attention to a co-ownership deal? Co-ownership, you remember those days back in Serie A?
Yeah.
Oh, a wonderful time. Giorgio Chiellini was signed by Roma in a co-ownership deal for 3.1 million euros, which also saw Marco Emilia move in the opposite direction for 2.8 million. Chiellini.
Livorno, yeah?
Yeah, from Livorno.
Yeah. I don't think he ever set his foot in Trigoria. He was just co-owned by Roma by chance, and then we lost that half to Fiorentina, I think, in 2004.
Juventus bought him and then loaned
Juventus
him.
Juventus bought him, yes, but Juventus bought the half from Fiorentina, I think.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. Yeah, so he was signed for 6.5 million euros from Livorno, but then was he immediately sold to Fiorentina for 3.5 million euros. Oh my God, this is a complex deal.
yeah, very complex, yeah.
I remember reading about this years ago, and like Chiellini, the co-ownership deal was like you buy 50% of the rights for what, 2 years, maybe a year or two, and then you go to a blind an auction if you can't negotiate the deal, and then you go into a blind auction, and whoever had the highest offer or lowest offer gets the player. I just remember those days. The co-ownership deal is just, we could do a whole podcast about the co-ownership deal from like on that. And I was just like, Roma had Chiellini and he just didn't play at all. And he went on a 2-year loan to Livorno.
Yeah, that's true.
Amazing. Amazing. So the transfers, we basically talked about it. Christian Panucci, when his loan to AS Monaco ended, Luigi Sartor.
Yeah, he became permanent that season.
Yeah. Yeah. Luigi Sartor from Parma. Euro 2004 winner, Trianis Dallas from Perugia. Josep, Guardiola from Brescia. And I think it was, is it Simone Pepe came back? Olivier Dacour came in the January transfer window on loan from Leeds.
Yes.
And then on in the outs, it was Cesare Bovo went to Lecce. The legend of Antonio Carlos Saga went to Besiktas. The free kick legend Marcos Asensar went to Real Betis. Abel Balbo went to Boca Juniors. Sebastiano Sevilla went to Parma. And Mr. Giordano Meloni went to Cesena. And then Simone Pepe went to Teramo on loan.
Yeah.
So that team, that just like you said about the ages, the oldest player was Aldair at 37. You had like a defense, Cafu was 33, Sartor was 28, Zabina was 24, Aldair was 37, Kufre and Walter Samuel are 25, Christian Panucci is 30, Trianis Dallas is 27, Vincent Candelara is 29. Damiano Farinetti is 18, Diego Fuser is 34, Lima was 32, and you had a young Daniele De Rossi who's 19. Your favourite Uruguayan, Gianni Guiju, he was 28. You had Montella, Totti, Cassano, Del Vecchio, Battistuta. That's just prime Italian football for us youngsters in Serie A. And this is peak Totti when he's 26 years old.
Yeah. But he got injured he got injured for, I think, 2 months somewhere in the summer there after the World Cup. So there were questions whether he'd be fully fit when the season would start. And, you know, the season was postponed by 2 weeks because the clubs couldn't agree on a TV deal, and there were around eight clubs.
Oh my God, yes, I remember that.
And there were eight clubs that had actually the backing from Franco Sensi. So the season was supposed to start on the 1st of September, but was postponed by 2 weeks. Interesting times.
Yeah, this is the times where over here in the UK, I don't think this was shown on Football Italia. It may have been shown like as a Mezzanotte TV show, which no live games. I think the live games stopped in 2002, and then it went to Eurosport, and then we didn't have it on domestic terrestrial TV, which was a massive shame. Eurosport is like a satellite channel where they show a lot of figure skating, like winter sports and stuff like that. They showed football. They haven't showed football on there for about 5 or 6 years. They used to show a lot of football, but this is the first season, I think, that, if my memory serves me right, that this is the first season that is not shown on terrestrial TV. Or it may have been like halfway through the season because it was shown on Eurosport. But I remember reading about the TV deal. And then it started on the weekend of like the 13th or 14th of September in 2002. And then Roma lost to Bologna, didn't they, Imran? Is he gone?
We lost to Bologna on match day one. We took the lead. We were 1-0 up at halftime through Batistuta penalty. Julio Cruz equalized it and scored. And it was quite unusual for Roma to be so sloppy in defense. I mean, the way we gave away the possession for Cruz to score, and this is something that followed Roma throughout the season: sloppy defense, silly mistakes, conceding goals. That's how we started Serie A.
And then the next week they lost at home to Modena, and
Yeah, despite
Modena,
taking the lead.
yeah, Totti, the legend. Ow, I just smashed my knee on my desk. Ow, the legend of Giuseppe Scully scoring the winner. But I sent you a video clip the week after. Is an iconic game. It's Brescia 2, Roma 3. That iconic Francesco Totti hat trick.
Yeah, his first hat trick of his career, and three beautiful goals, beautiful goals.
Baggio scored. Totti scored a hat trick. I watched the highlights, what, 3 4 days ago after watching some vintage Roma clips last week. Just like teleport back in time. Roma, after losing the first two games, won the next three games in Serie A, which was against Brescia, Udinese, and then Empoli. October 27th, 2002. Derby della Capitale, Lazio 2, Roma 2. Stefano Fiore, 51st minute. Marco Dalvecchio, 57 minute. Gabriel Omar Badesduta, 66 minutes. Dejan Stankovic in the 75th minute. Refereed by Gianluca Paparesta.
Yeah, good times. And 3 days later, we were speaking just about Serie A, but 3 days later we were going to play Real Madrid at Bernabeu,
And what was the
and
score?
we won 1-0
Yeah, 1-0.
thanks to Francesco Totti. And it was interesting because we were in a very very difficult position in the Champions League, because we have played four games, we'd lost one, we won one, and we drew two. So we have 5 points, and we needed to win. We didn't need to win. We basically, if we lost and Genk or AEK Athens won, if AEK Athens won against Genk, then we would have been the And we actually needed to beat them on the last match day. But now, when we won against Real Madrid, we could actually win the group. And it was unfortunate because we were 1-0 up against AEK Athens on the last match day. We conceded in injury time, which meant that both Real Madrid and Roma finished with 9 points. You know what's ironic? We progressed to the next round having scored 3 goals, conceded 4 goals.
Yeah, -1 goal difference.
-1 goal. And we really struggled to score. Because up until, match day four, we had only scored 1 goal. We had 3 goalless games. And that was also something which you could see in Serie A, that we struggled to score many of our chances, but above all in Serie A, we struggled in defense.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. So the Champions League group for 2002-03 was Real Madrid, Roma, AEK Athens, Genk. What's ironic about AEK Athens in that Champions League group?
They drew all the games. 6 of 6.
6 of 6.
Unbeaten.
And their goal difference is 0. Goals for 7, goal against 7. And they went to the UEFA Cup because they finished third in the group. That is absolutely wonderful. Imagine drawing 6 games in your Champions League group.
Yeah.
And Roma, and as you said, Roma went through scoring 3 goals.
Yeah.
And those 3 goal scorers were Antonio Cassano away at Genk, Totti away at the Stadio Bernabeu, and Marco Del Vecchio against AEK Athens. And if you remember, yeah, I think this is the season where, the last season of this, you had the Champions League second group stage where,
yes,
Valencia, Ajax, Arsenal and Roma were drawn together. These games were played, the first 2 rounds were played in November and December, and the final 4 rounds were played in 2003. So from mid-February to mid-March. And let's just say Roma won 1 game, which was away in the Mestalla. They won 3-0, but they lost at home to Arsenal, which included one of the best hat-tricks I've ever seen in Thierry Henry. Absolutely wonderful hat-trick. A loss 2-1 in Amsterdam against Ajax, where Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Jari Litmanen, who almost signed for Roma, if you remember him, right?
Yeah.
In the 90s, after those weird, not quadrangular tournaments, but those three-team 45-minute-a-half tournaments, it's in Totti's book that he almost signed on loan to Sampdoria, and the Argentine manager who named he looks like Larry David. His name is totally gone by me. He used to manage Boca Juniors. He wanted to sign Jari Litmanen.
Carlos Bianchi.
That's it, Carlos Bianchi. He looks like Larry David. Mm-hmm. And then Roma lost at home to Valencia. John Carew.
Yeah, lost scored all the 3 games, the first 3 games.
Yeah, and then picked up 5 points from the next 3 by beating Valencia, Totti scoring twice, and Emerson. The game in Arsenal, which you wanted to talk about, due to a miss right near the end, Patrick Vieira scored. Totti got sent off for an elbow on Martin Keown, which was a bit soft. Cassano scored right on half-time. And then Vicenza Montella
missed
a gilt-edge header right near the end.
Incredible, incredible. I mean, Montella was going through a very difficult time this season on a personal level. In the first half of the season, he scored only 4 Serie A goals. He was struggling with injuries. He was struggling with his personal life. He got divorced in March. So he was going through a very difficult time, and I think that miss against Arsenal at Highbury, free header, basically summed up his season up until then, because after that he got a bit better. He scored, he showed some glimpse of previous good form, but it was a bit too late for Roma. But yeah, that miss was very costly for Roma, because we were playing with 10 men. You know, remember Totti got sent off very early. I mean,
Yeah,
it was
22nd minute.
it was very early, and we played more than 70 minutes with with 10 players. We scored an equalizer despite that, and we were even close to winning. We kept it very tight, but yeah, it didn't happen, which meant that we were going into the last game against Ajax having to win, and at the same time expect Arsenal to get a result at Mestalla against Valencia, which they didn't. They lost 2-1 against John again.
Valencia.
John Carew scored a winner there, and we played 1-1 against Ajax. And you wanted to talk about incredible strike by Andy van der Meijden.
Andy van der Meijden, who then went to Inter Milan, scoring an absolute wonder goal in the first minute.
In the first minute, yeah. You remember who was the goalkeeper for Ajax?
Oh God, oh, let me have a look. No, go for
Bo
it. Let's have a look
Bo
at the report.
Bogdan
Bogdan Lobont, who then went to
Lobons.
Roma as like the third or fourth choice goalkeeper. Oh my giddy aunt.
This
Oh
guy,
my God.
he lived the life every Roma fan wants to live.
What, like a third choice backup goalkeeper?
Yeah, he just showed up at Trigoria, you know, 8 to 5. Not even 8 to 5. I mean, 9 to 5 would be like he just came, did his training, went home, barely played. Yeah,
Oh my,
perfect.
I've got the transfer marked up here, so I've got the page up. This is a team managed by Ronald Koeman, by the way. That is just Bogdan Lobont. There's another ex-Roma player playing for Ajax that day.
Kivu.
Christian Kivu.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That, do you know what, this Ajax team is absolutely bonkers. So Lobont, Chelsea, Kivu, Maxwell, Passanen, Van der Vaart, Galasek, O'Brien, Pienaar, Van der Meijden, and big Zlatan Ibrahimovic up front.
Yeah.
And then like Richard Witzka came on off the bench. Like Roma had, let's have a look, back five. Yeah, 5-3-2. Cafu, Aldair, Candela, Panucci, Kufre, Palazzoli, Lima, Tomasi, Emerson, Delvecchio, Cassano, Montella, Diego Fuser, Daniele De Rossi, Guizhou, Sartor, Farinetti, Antonioli on the bench. So that, yeah. So Roma actually finished bottom with 5 points. And that, yeah. It's the second stage of the Champions League. But then, like, the form in the league is very, to say, very up and down for a lot of the season. Like after like the two losses in Serie A, they didn't lose until match day 11, which is away at Parma. But then they had like a run of games where they lost to AC Milan, and then the start of 2023, they lost to Chievo at home, Atalanta away, and then lost away at Como.
But what was interesting in a lot of those games, if you look at the Piacenza game, we took the lead, conceded late, relatively late against Inter. We conceded on a corner kick against, I mean, by who? The shortest player on the pitch, Okan Buruk. With he had a header, free header, in the
89th
box.
minute.
And we had 2-0 up against Juventus. We conceded through net 85th minute. So there were a lot of late goals conceded late, and it's also in this period around November, just before the December and the difficult January was coming. Capello had his outburst. He was very unhappy with the refereeing. He even said that he even threatened to quit Serie A because he felt that he couldn't work here and be treated like this. Franco Sensi was pissed. Like I said, Sensi was banned for 3 months after this. He had very strong comments against Galliani, against the refereeing. He said the refereeing standard wasn't up to it. And it's also interesting to mention that Gragnotti of Lazio and Franco Sensi were both very vocal against in their criticism of the referees. And I remember Gragnotti even saying that if it continues like this, we will pull our teams out of Serie A or just and you know they always had some threats. They wanted to buy the Olimpico, Gragnotti and Sensi. They wanted to buy the Olimpico and said that if they don't sell us, we've given them a deadline. If they don't sell us the Olimpico, we will go around touring Italy, playing in different stadiums. So there were some absolutely, different times compared to now. Very different times.
Can you imagine if that happened now in 2023-24 season or in 2024?
Oh no. And also, Franco Sensi and Capello, they had. It's important to remember that they had a strict professional relationship because on a personal level, they couldn't stand each other. There was two, it was a conflict of two very strong personalities. And throughout the season, 2002, 2003, there were lots of comments back and forth. Capello, Sensi threatened to sack Capello. Capello said that he would leave. And it was more like, yeah, I will not respect my contract if it continues like this. And there was a lot of back and forth. It was like Tom and Jerry, Franco Sensi and Capello. And it even came to a point, when we had the three defeats in January, Franco Sensi went as far as saying that, if Capello decides to leave, he's free to go. I will hire Carlo Mazzone or Cosmi. And even Gauci was out in the media and saying that if Cosmi gives us the UEFA Cup, then I will let him go for free. I will
Jeez.
give him this favor, because he gave us the UEFA Cup. And I know that it's a dream. Cosmi was a big Roma fan. It was a very big Roma fan, and it was always his dream to coach Roma. And at that time, he was doing really well.
He was, yes.
So it's important to also know that it was very tense. It was very tense atmosphere at Trigoria back then. And when we lost, going back to the Ajax game, when we lost the first game 2-1, when they were coming, when they came to the training, back from Amsterdam, Capello even he just abandoned the training. He said that, I'm very hurt and disappointed. He said, I expected more from my team, and we all have to do more, and blah 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 blah, and he was very frustrated, and he even and there was also a lot of personal clashes between him and Cassano. Cassano used to storm out of training, wanted to play more, and yeah, so it was a very difficult place to be in. And then you have the media, constantly criticizing, because before the season we were among the favorites to win the Scudetto, and then nothing was going our way. Refereeing decisions going against us, a defense which was, leaking, which we had not seen in several seasons. So it was really tough times in January.
Yeah, I'm just looking now. bear with me for a second, January 2003. So they lost. Blah, 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 blah. So they lost. Yeah, so they beat Vicenza in the Coppa Italia in a bonkers tie. Remember, this is a Coppa Italia quarterfinal with two legs. So they lost to Atalanta. They lost to Como. They lost to Chievo. In that Como game, do you realise who made his debut that day? First starts. First league starts.
Could have been De Rossi, or no, he came later. He played in Torino, I think.
No, it was De Rossi. No, it was his first. Yeah, it was his first Serie A start, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played in a midfield three of De Rossi, Tomasi, and Dacour, Cafu, and Del Vecchio as wingbacks. Del Vecchio as a wingback could be quite. That could have been interesting.
Yeah.
The running to the end of the season in Serie A is quite interesting, isn't it? A lot of wins in games against Bologna, Empoli, Piacenza, Parma. They beat AC Milan in April. And they went on like these run of games where they would win like three or four in a row. But they then had these defeats and drop points. The Inter Milan away game is a video that I watched the other day. And they were 3-1 down with about 10, 15 minutes to go and bring it back to 3-3.
Yeah. You know, this game, I remember it for several reasons because Batistuta was playing for Inter now because we sent him on loan.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was very close to scoring. And I know I would kill myself if that happened because, you know, we had sent him on loan to Inter and he was so close to scoring. But it was a very strong comeback. It was a very entertaining game. And Franco Sensi said after the game that after this game, after the comeback, he was ecstatic. He was very happy. He said that now I'm certain that we have the best team in the whole of Serie A. And I saw it today. So, you know, Franco Sensi could go from 0 to 100, and that was the proof of it.
Bloody hell. Yeah, Vieri, Rocoba, and Emre scoring for Inter, Cassano, Di Biagio own goal, and Vincenzo Montella. Pierluigi Colina was the referee. Like, in the next, like, six games, Serie A, or seven. Seven. Like, 2-1 against Parma. Adriano scoring for Parma, by the way. This is the start of Adriano. And then his rise, and then sadly his downfall not so long after sadly his father dying. Imagine this is April 2003, so his father dying the following summer after the Copa America, which Brazil beat Argentina in the final. You had the Juventus loss in Turin, the 2-1, with Del Piero scoring twice, Montella scoring for Roma. You have three wins in a row against AC Milan, which I saw the highlights earlier, Cassano and Tomasi and John Dahl Thomason, the 3-2 away win away at Regina. Shinsuke Nakamura scoring for Regina. I remember him at Celtic.
Good. Yeah, his free kicks. Oh,
free kicks, unbelievable. But then the last three games of the season, 3-1 against Torino, De Rossi scoring that absolute worldie from long distance, Cassano scoring two that day. 0-0 draw away at Chievo. Roberto Rossetti is the referee. Wow. And then the home loss to Atalanta to end the season.
Yeah, the season was basically all. We had nothing to play for.
Yeah.
But if you look at the three games we lost in January, Chievo, Atalanta, Como.
Como,
It was Como's first win of the season, if I'm not mistaken, when we lost to them because they were very poor. And if you convert those three games into wins, you actually finish just 2 points behind Lazio in the Champions League. So it just proves how how small the margins were, how we unnecessarily gave away games, especially late goals. We conceded so many late goals, and that proved out to be very costly. But ultimately, it was an aging squad. We failed to renew the squad in the summer, and we paid the price for it.
There's one competition we haven't talked about. It's the Coppa
Yes.
Italia. The Coppa Italia. Roma got to the final, lost to that AC Milan team. That was tremendous. 6-3 on aggregate. But Roma got through Triestina, won on penalties in
Yeah.
December 2002. Beat Vicenza in a game they won 2-1 away and then 1-6-3 at home. Del Vecchio scoring a hat trick. Semi-final Derby della Capitale, where the first leg is played in February and then the second leg is played in April, a day before my birthday, by the way. Which Roma won both games. They won the first leg 2-1, Cassano and Emerson and Stefano Fiori with the for Lazio, and they won the second leg 1-0 with Vincenzo Montella scoring. But the Coppa Italia final was played over two legs. They lost the first leg 4-1. Totti scoring for Roma, Serginio scoring twice, Ambrosini and Shevchenko. Have you seen a video floating around, maybe on social media, but on or on YouTube, but of Totti's highlights in the second leg?
I haven't seen the circulating video, but I remember the game because I watched most of the games, but I remember this, and his free kicks. Oh my God.
Oh.
But ultimately it was Rossetti show. It was Rossetti who sent off, I think he sent off Cassano and he sent off Totti as well, wasn't he?
Let me have a look. Let me have
I
a
think he
look.
sent off them both. Yeah, Cassano and Totti were sent off. Just confirmed it now. Ended up 2-2 in the end.
Yeah, because Totti scored twice, and then
He scored twice.
Rivaldo and Totti sent off and Cassano. Oh, yeah, I just seen it myself. Bloody hell. Totti for two
I
yellow
mean,
cards. Cassano sent off for dissent in the
Cassano
70th minute.
completely lost it. Completely lost it. If you watch YouTube,
Yes, I remember that.
he completely lost the plot. He was threatening Rossetti, and I will see you outside. And yeah.
It's probably not the first or the last time that Cassano's done that to a referee or a coach in the
No.
colours of Roma.
But
But there's
we have
like
to
that.
mention the derby in specifically the derby where Cassano scored in the last minute and his strip show.
Oh my God,
Eight
yes.
8th of March, Lazio won a lot, and
2000.
then Cassano with the header in the last minute, and then he basically when the match ends, he just takes everything off. It's a complete strip show. He was such a character, Cassano. I mean, lovely
I
times.
remember I watched this game on Eurosport actually. I remember watching that and then he just went absolutely mental after he scored. So Roma finished eighth. I'm also want to talk about a couple of players in the team, and I've got the league table in front of me. Bear with me, I actually did have it and then I just lost it. This is on Transfermarkt. Yeah, so I've got the league table. Remember, this is a Serie A with 34 games played in run.
Yeah, it was much better.
18 team. So Juventus won the league, 72 points. Inter second. AC Milan third. Lazio fourth. Parma. Did they win the Cup? No. The Italian Cup win in 2002, so they finished fifth. Udinese. Imagine this was under Spalletti.
It was under Spalletti.
Yeah,
Bologna were coached
sixth.
by Guidolin.
Oh my goodness. This is just like
Francesco
brings back memories. Yeah, so Udinese sits Chievo 7th, Roma finishing 8th. 34 games played, 49 points. Torino, Como and Piacenza got relegated. Atalanta and Reggina played a... Was it a relegation playoff?
Mm.
I am just trying to find out who got relegated. Bear with me.
I think, yeah, it was... wasn't it? Yeah, I think it was a tiebreaker.
This is great. Yeah, so the tie, if they both finished on 38 points, and Atalanta and Reggina went into a playoff. Didn't they do this for Inter Milan and Bologna, but for fourth place a couple of years ago? A couple of years previously to that, but no. Perugia and Brescia got into the Intertoto Cup.
The one you're talking about is Inter Parma, qualification for the Champions League. They had a player.
That's the one. Yeah. That's it. Didn't they play it in Chievo or Bologna? And Bologna won it. Atalanta and Reggina had a two-legged tie at the end of the season, and Reggina beat Atalanta 2-1 on aggregate. Bonazzoli scoring right near the end.
Yeah.
Emiliano Bonazzoli. Right. I may have a, not a quiz, but I have the managerial changes as well, but I won't go into that. Top goal scorer, because we've done this a few times when we've done this. Who was the top goal scorer in Serie A overall that season?
I think it was Vieri.
It was Christian Vieri with 24. I'll ask you the top four, because five and six is joint. Actually, let's do top five. Who was second? He played Inzaghi. For Parma. No, Inzaghi was three.
Parma.
He was a deadly duo. He then went to Chelsea not so long after.
Mutu then.
Mutu is two. Mutu. You have three, which was Pippo Inzaghi. And one of half of those goals were offside. Due to the he was born offside. Number four, he played for the champions.
Del Piero.
And number five is two players, both with 15. One played for Parma and one played for Lazio, and they're both South American.
Parma, I think. Oh, you mentioned Adriano. Could it be Adriano then?
One is Adriano.
The other one
is a left-footed South American player who played for Lazio. Also played for Valencia.
Okay, Claudio Lopez. When you said Valencia, it was easier.
Dario Hubner and Francesco Totti had 14 goals, and a very, very green and young Antonio Di Natale, who played for Empoli, was with 13. Times. Yeah. So I've got them. Yeah. I've got the managerial changes here as well. This is brilliant. Who got sacked? So Ventura was Udinese manager until 30th of June 2002, and then Spalletti.
I think you have to start from the first manager was sacked was Torino.
Yeah. Giancarlo Camalese. Yeah. Torino sacked two managers, and then Renzo, is it Ulverdi, was in charge.
Yeah.
Oh no, Torino sacked four managers. Jesus Christ. I wonder when he finished bottom. Yeah, like Torino sacked four managers. Reggina sacked Bortolo Muti and replaced him with Luigi Di Canio. Como sacked Loris Dominici and replaced him with Eugenio Vaschetti. Piacenza sat Andrea Agostini and Luigi Cagni. Renzo Overi was replaced by Renato Zaccarelli. Zaccarelli then got sacked for Giacomo Ferri, and then Atalanta Giovanni Vafasori for Giancarlo Fernandi. And it was just, that is all the sack-ins. I imagine there was probably more to be done. I have club sponsors, but I'm just going to say that Kappa Roma shirt was just absolutely wonderful, and it was just a dream. Yeah. Before we wrap up, I wanted to ask you about Pep Guardiola at Roma.
It didn't work out. It was, like I said, very promising in the preseason. I thought he would have a much more important role than he ended up having, because we got rid of, we sold Marcos Assosao to Real Betis, for 7 million euros. Guardiola was very good in the preseason. He was very good in keeping possession, very technical player, but he didn't work in the midfield with Emerson and Tomasi, so he was a lot on the bench. And after 6 months, he went back to Brescia to play under Carlo Mazzone, because before he came, he was banned 3 months for doping. I think nandrolone, just like David's.
Yapstam and Jager-Davids.
He had a very strong finish to the season, and he played with Roberto Baggio, and he said, you know, I will just go back to playing with Roberto Baggio, and that's what he did. So he left in January.
Yeah, he went to Brescia, played 13 more games, then went to Al Ahly in Qatar, and then ended in Mexico for Dorados. Yeah.
And that's what, you know who we signed on a temporary deal to replace Batistuta?
No, go for it.
Massimo Marazzino.
Oh yes, I've got this here. Yeah,
I really don't get what Franco Sensi thought that guy would get out of. He was quite okay for Chievo, but for Roma, no.
Oh my God. I, to be honest, I don't know much about him, so I apologize, even though I've just looked at his stats and
was just there. Yeah, he was basically just there on the bench. Didn't do too much. And then, of course, Roma didn't sign him permanently. Yeah, so that was a bit surprising.
So, Imran, that's 2002-2003. The next season was 2003-04, and then Roma finished second, to be honest, against that good AC Milan team.
It was unfortunate that we came up against that Milan team.
Quite a lot, didn't they?
Yeah. We were the winter champions.
Roma finished... Yeah, they finished second, and this was Capello's last season at Roma.
Yeah, he was very close to leaving in 2003. He was very close to leaving, but then he said he wanted to respect the contract. He laid out a plan with Sensi on how they were going to... They realized their mistakes, and they said that we will... So Batistuta left, Cafu left, Aldair retired, and amongst other things that happened. And then we brought in a lot of young players. We were very close to signing Lucio. Broke down. They couldn't agree personal contract. In the end, we signed Kivu. Amantino Mancini came from... We had signed him in January, but couldn't register him. So he was there acclimatizing at Venezia, didn't play much.
John Carew, Dakour.
John Carew on a law. Yeah, Dakour came in January. We signed him on a permanent deal. And so it ended up being a very, very good season. Unfortunately, we didn't win, but yeah.
Yeah, we could probably do a podcast about that before the end of the season. 2003-04 is the end of... it was the end of Capello, and then it went into the doldrum of 2004-05 and then the Spalletti years. But yeah, I think we'll pretty much wrap it up on this, Imran. Do you have anything to add on 2002-03?
2002-03, we had two incidents. where girls from Napoli I think it was in January or February or something, or March, that a 13-year-old girl had run away from home in Napoli. She was going to go to school. She went to the station, caught the first train to Rome, but she was picked up by the national police outside Olimpico because it was discovered that she didn't have any ticket. She was alone, and her parents had, informed the police that she hadn't gone to school, and she told that she wanted to see Francesco Totti play. So I think there were two incidents like that. Very, I think
Jesus.
it was people were crazy for Totti back then. So
This is
yeah,
peak Dotty, isn't it?
this
This
is
is
peak Totti.
peak 24 to 28, 29 before his injuries and the retirement of in international football, before he became the lone striker. Like in that 4-6-0, this is peak number 10 Totti with the world at his feet and everything around him.
Yeah,
And it was a joy to watch from afar.
it was a joy to watch.
Imran, I think that pretty much covers one of Roma's worst seasons in the 2000s.
Yeah,
If
unfortunately.
not the worst, we
Especially
probably
with
will.
that squad.
Yeah, that squad and an aging squad. We should
Despite being
do,
aging, yeah.
yeah, we should do a happy one soon. We'll do
We
a
should do
happy
happy
one,
ones.
maybe with a little bit of heartbreak. But no, that pretty much covers a retro Roma 2002, 2003, where a Champions League winner as a coach was in the team, a Euro 2004 winner just signed, Pete Totti, a lot of strikers. And Roma finished below Chievo in
Yeah.
And Julio Cruz scoring twice on the opening day of the season against Roma, which he probably did quite a bit in that era when he played for Bologna and
He
Inter.
did.
He did, oh, a good striker. The
Yeah.
nostalgia is just seeping through the headphones and our voices. To people who will be listening to this in the next couple of days. Guys, you can follow us at lemagicast.com and you can find us on all that you can find all the previous episodes on the website, and you can find us on all podcast platforms. So your Apple, your SoundCloud, your Spotify, etc., etc. Before I finish and I let you all go, today is the 3-year anniversary of me taking over this pod as the host. And me, Imran, and Sam did that first podcast with me in charge, and it was a 2-0 defeat against Napoli, if you recall, Imran.
I cannot recall.
But no, this is like I have a couple of months left, as I pointed out previously. I am handing over the microphone to someone else, but I am going to enjoy the next 2 to 3 months with this, as this current team, Imran, is going places, and we'll probably do some retro pods going forward, and we'll do some pods about current day Roma. But I'm going to enjoy the next 3 months, and I've loved the 3 years in charge. Like I tweeted out earlier, I've got to know and talk to Roma fans across the world and football fans across the world. So I'm going to enjoy this, I'm going to take it all in, and hopefully, Roma do well in the next couple of months. And we'll be talking about maybe a team in the Champions League, Imran.
Yeah, let's hope so. And thank you, of course, as always.
Thank you, Imran. Thank you for joining me on this Wednesday evening. We
Thank
should
you.
probably do another one soon.
Happy one.
What do you fancy? 0607 or 0708?
Either. We could do either. Both of them are lots of positives there.
We could probably do a conjoined one.
Yeah.
A lot of cup wins, some heartbreak. And Mirko Vucinic turning into a monster at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to watch some YouTube clips again. My YouTube search history of Roma in the 2000s could be a bit, you just don't want to show it to anyone. It could just be some very dodgy stuff. But no, Imran, thank you very much for joining me on this Wednesday evening. Enjoy the rest of your week. We could do one next week about a happier time, couldn't we?
Yeah, we can do that.
Take care, guys. Enjoy the international break. We're doing this on the flight. We'll probably be back next week to do another retro pod. Take care. Ciao.
Ciao.